Welcome to Wise Guys Incorporated Radio. You're listening to us on 107.7 FM, New Orleans, United Public Radio. And we are live here every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I want to thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. John DeSalvo, and we have two co-hosts. One, Bill Catello, is not with us today. He has an engagement. So we'll be missing him, but we do. My other co-host is Nick Christophers, who's the author of several books on the mob, editor of a mob magazine, and probably knows almost every famous mob person out there. And Billy, when he's on, was a soldier in the Colombo family, crime family, and his father, Wild Bill, was the acting boss and then underboss of the Colombo family. So we're the real deal, and our guests are the real deal. And we're real excited today because we're bringing on a very, very special guest, Angela Cavalcanti, and I'm going to turn it over to my other co-host, Nick, to maybe introduce Angela so we can get right into it. Hi, Nick. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Thank you. And again, thanks for getting Angela on, and maybe you could do the honors and introduce her, and we can, have some fun.
Okay. Angela is a very special individual. She comes from definitely a mob pedigree, I would say. She was on a program called I Married a Mobster many moons ago, which was a great program. Her episode was called No Way Out, which is very interesting. You can find it on YouTube, most likely.
The name of it was on Discovery ID.
Oh, Discovery ID. That's what it was on. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention the TV station. And, you know, she has a lot to say and has a lot of background in that world, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Angela, for joining us. Nick has spoke very highly of you, and we're real excited to hearing your story.
Yeah, she's wrecking my joint at the moment. I mean that. It's all good.
Well, you know, Angela, maybe I don't know. Kind of start at the beginning. How did you start associating with with mob people, and maybe take it from there?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, John. Say that one more time. I apologize.
Well, what happened?
Hello? Sorry. No, say that one more time, John. I'm sorry.
Oh, is Angela there? I can't hear her.
I'm here.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry. We'll get it later.
I'm here.
No, we had a little bit of a liquid accident.
Oh, no. Put the scotch away after the show.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done that, believe me.
Oh, anyway. Give me a question. I'm sorry.
What was your question?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Angela, from the beginning, how did you get associated with people in the mob? And maybe you didn't know at first they were in the mob, so maybe kind of from the beginning, give us an idea of that. Would be fun to hear.
Sure. I grew up in the mob when I was a little girl. I was surrounded by pretty much all the, I would say, the mobsters that were growing up, just coming out, in the beginning, so to speak. So I grew up with them. I hung out with them. My family was involved with them. And I pretty much know everyone from where my neighborhood is, which is Howard Beach, Queens.
Oh, is that where the Gottis live? So you knew the Gottis?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's where I grew up. I know everyone. And I have some great, great stories that I wanted to let the world in on eventually, which I'm working on. And it's just the stories I have. I talk about this when I talk to myself. I said, self, I have more stories than Walt Disney. And that's my line, because I grew up with everything. I just happened to be around it all, so to speak.
At what age did you realize that these guys were not like normal workers, that they were mobsters?
I don't know. Where the way I grew up, I pretty much that's the way it was. Those were the mob the mob guys. They were the tough guys, or whatever you want to call them. And I just knew. We all knew. We grew up like very wise to the situation.
Now, did you marry into the mob?
Well, John, before she answers that, just to give a little more clarification of what Angela was trying to say.
Yeah.
I think it's more from her point of view, these kind of guys were like, to her, the norm. Mm-hmm. There was no, you know, way to compare. Okay, this guy, that guy is different. It was just a normal, you know.
Sure.
So, like, that wasn't like me. Like, I told you my story. Me, when I was hanging out in my father's cafe, all those guys used to walk in. But I knew what a normal person guy, normal guy like my dad was, you know, working class guy. I knew what a normal guy was. But these guys, I realized, were different. And see, I saw the difference. For Angela, that was the norm. There was no, this guy's different than the other guy. You understand?
Sure. Now, did you marry into the mob, Angela?
Yes, but if you
watch... She was going to marry me, but that didn't happen. Go ahead.
If you watch my show, which you can do it on YouTube, it gets a little confusing because I'm mixed up with one of the other Brooklyn girls, which I'm the Queens girl, and I'm the only Queens girl.
I got mixed up. I tried to find it on YouTube, and the No Way Out wasn't about you. Is it a different
one? Right. Somebody screwed something up, and Nick got the show. So.
Oh, okay.
I text you the link. Did you see it?
I'm going to have to sue them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll post it on my Facebook and social media after the show. Okay, so, I'm sorry. So, about being married into the mob. What's that story? How did that work out?
So the story works. I grew up in Howard Beach. I grew up at Brooklyn, Howard Beach. It was split borderline. Uh-huh. I was Brooklyn and Queens. So I grew up where the guys just came out of Brooklyn into Howard Beach. And I grew up from the beginning of when it actually, the Howard Beach era started. It started when I was growing up. And I was on both sides of the fence, so to speak. I was right in the middle, actually, where they came from, and then they came over to Queens, which was Howard Beach, because it was a new area, and it's where all the mobsters and whoever, all the guys who wanted to be whatever, or street guys, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the good fellows thing, all the good fellows, and just the average guys who became whoever they became in Howard Beach. So with me, I grew up with that. I've been with that. I went to another neighbor to try and get away from all that. So my story is that I ended up going to another neighbor and hanging out, trying to get away from Howard Beach. I ended up meeting the mobster, one of the mob guys. His father was like one of the top bosses. And that's what I ended up with. And it seemed to follow me wherever I went. It was my destiny, so to speak, because I could never get away from it. Was like, I don't know what.
Hence the title, No Way Out.
No, hence the title, No Way Out. Very good.
Well, now you weren't actually involved in mob activity, were you? Or,
oh, sure.
Yeah, you were. Interesting. I didn't know.
Well, I was not involved with it. Let me pull that one back. Wasn't involved. It was always there in the mix.
Got you.
I was with the guys. I was there. This was my life. I was in it, you know? And then when, of course, when I married into the mob, that, of course, I was in it. Then I was in it.
Then it was 24 hours a day.
It was just, I was
in
the mob.
In other words, to put it more plainly, she lived it, ate it, slept it, 24 hours a day.
But when you marry into the mob, that's a whole different ballgame. That's like just, it's like a different ball game. It's not a whole different, it's just a different ball game. Yeah.
So if you get tired of it, you can't just say, well, I want to quit and leave me alone, right? You're no way out.
Well,
you're stuck kind of.
Yeah, that's pretty much it because I had a hard time because if you watch the show, not everything was told in that show. But when I was involved when I got married, the FBI pretty much came down on that Lucchese family, and I was just like, I just got beaten to a pulp by it because I was in the mix when everything went down, and it was just a horrible, horrible situation. I just got destroyed by it. So, as a matter of fact, I think the FBI owes me some money. compensation.
Now, how are you doing today? Are you doing okay? I guess it never leaves you, right? It kind of hangs over you, but you feel you're dealing with it and everything?
I'm dealing with it. I'm dealing with it so well that my destiny, which I'm not really dealing, I have no choice, you deal with life. But my thoughts are now that I have to put this down on paper, not just being like I married a mobster, but actually where I came from and that lifestyle, which is not about me. I want to write about the place, you know what I'm saying? Like the place where everybody, you know, where a lot of stories are there and no one knows it. And
so what she's trying to say, again, I'm helping out here, is that, see, Angela has this dream that she wants to...
Not a dream, sorry.
She has a goal, a very specific goal, to put her background, her what she went through, not so much personally, but the neighborhood, Howard Beach as a whole, as what it is, what it was, and what it
has. I just want to tell the story about the neighborhood and all the characters.
The characters, the things that happened
that's
there.
Never been told before, I know. There's little bits and pieces. Yes.
That would be interesting because that would really be a good book, and I think maybe that's what you're getting at.
Thank you.
You know, and I tell you, most of the, I mean, there's a lot of mob books out there. And I don't want to say, Nick's got great books, but a lot of them are the same thing, you know, about a specific mob boss or this or that. What you're telling me is unique. And the other thing, I believe you're going to help a lot of people because you may prevent others from maybe falling into that kind of trap of the no way out. So your book not only would be historically and informative, but it could do a lot of good. And that's the purpose of our radio show, too, really. You know, Angela's to kind of warn people that there's really no good end to this type of life, but also to entertain. And to me, it's historical. I mean, your stories
are historical. Yeah. Historical would be the word I would use because this is something that's never been told. And I have the stories in my little mind here. And it has to be told before Alzheimer's sets in or dementia. I got to get this on paper.
She's not close yet.
Never, ever been told. There's stories in that time that I know have never been written. So that's my story. And I think it'll be great.
The other thing I was going to say, too, make sure you get them down, even if you do them on a tape recorder and stuff while they're fresh in your mind. Maybe I could change the topic a little because I'm always curious because you were from Howard Beach and you knew the Gottis. I was always fascinated about the Gottis. Mm-hmm. Did you any stories of when you met them or interacted with them? I'd be curious.
Any stories? Of course. Well, I never really, you know, they were in the neighborhood and my siblings. They were more with them. They grew up with them. They had their trials and tribulations, and it's all going to be in the book. I wouldn't mind doing another interview with you guys when the book finally gets down on paper because it's just the stories are so. And yes, the Gottis are in it. Yes, because the Gottis were. Well, let's face it, John Gotti was. He came up on the big, you know, to the Gambino family as the head boss, and he was Howard Beach. And that's the story. And the story's not just John Gotti. There's a lot of stories there.
Now, your
a lot
family
of different
was,
characters.
Your family was Lucchese family? Is that the one?
No.
Okay.
No, I married into the Lucchese family.
Okay. So, I was just curious. Everyone seemed to, and I never met John Gotti. My cousins did because they were at weddings with him. But I heard people just loved him in the neighborhood. Is that true? He was like kind of a savior. Everything was saved.
He was a character. Let's put it that way. He was a character. That's my opinion of him. I didn't really, you know, rub elbows with him, but I rubbed elbows with everybody around him. And not even rubbed elbows. I was part of that life. You know, I was one of the girls in the neighborhood that's been there, done that, seen it all, and just about have stories and the people that I associated with as a kid, as a young girl, growing up, and I just know all the stories, and they're bizarre.
Okay, well, no, we're just doing a recording.
Oh, well, this is not a sex place.
Hey, I love it. Hey, you got a good sense of humor, you know. That's what I tell Nick.
Yeah.
We got to make people laugh, especially today.
Yes. After what I've been through, if you don't have a good sense of humor after what I've seen and been through in my life, that would have never made it this long. I'm surprised that I'm actually here. And so I guess maybe my Sicilian temperament and sense of humor, if you will, got me through it.
A lot of that, too. That's for sure.
But I'm so excited about doing the book, and I would love to do more interviews with you guys.
Oh, we'd love to have you back, because it's, I know we started kind of a little late. For those, a lot of people, most people, I think 90% many times of radio shows are on the archives, you know, after the show. So even though right. we started late, it wouldn't really affect probably much the number of listeners. But we would like to have you back when we actually, you know, start close to our schedule. So we could get you on with more live people, because we're kind of, well, this is Saturday. We used to be on drive time on Monday and a different time. But I you know, the other thing too, the book could also be helpful for people, women, children of families of the mob, even currently, that maybe there's tips you can give them how to deal with it, how to get out, not to get involved. But I would think there's always a way out. Maybe it's not easy, but is that
my book is just to tell the story of the place, and the place, the infamous place. I use the word infamous because pretty much that's what it was. Whether it's going to be a family book, I doubt that very much.
Yeah, I doubt that one.
But that's okay. Yeah, could it help? I guess it could, but I think it's just the facts and things that happened that nobody's ever told. And it's what I know. It's instilled in my mind, and I think it should get out there. Yes, and for whatever good reason, sure.
Were you there when John Gotti was acquitted and they had all those fireworks? Were you?
Of course.
I love the story that supposedly, I don't know if it's true or not, the cop showed up and said, you can't do fireworks. And John Gotti basically said, too bad, and they walked away. I don't know if that's true, but that must have been some celebration.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That was true. I was there, actually.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I was there pretty much, I guess, somewhere around the area. And absolutely, that's the way it worked. That's the way it was. The way it worked, and there was no doubt about that. Yeah,
Nick,
especially
you were
that specific precinct, 106. Yeah,
yeah,
they had 106 right where they wanted them. They didn't.
Wow.
They didn't do anything. No, zero.
So
zero.
You didn't smart. See Angela. You didn't see Nick at that time. He said he was there. He was wasn't he
oh,
the guy?
Oh, I didn't know Nick.
No, we didn't know each other then.
Wait a minute. I thought Nick was the guy who came up to you and said, "You want to come up and see my etchings?" Oh.
Yeah, not me. It must have been some other lucky girl. I don't know.
But that's interesting. You know, there's so many stories, too. I mean, we know, obviously, Gotti was, the boss. And
yeah, you know, but everybody thinks Gotti. You know, everybody's heard the stories, seen the movies, read the books, heard his story to tell the cockeyed story she told. It's not about that. There's more stories than John Gotti, believe me. He just was the up-and-coming guy. He made a statement, and he got where he got, and it was his destiny, I guess, to get there. But there are so many other, I would say, characters in this saga, or whatever you want to call it. And
sure.
There's just so many other stories, and a lot of people don't know these people. And this is what I want, I want to get it out, because it's the way I grew up. It's what I've seen. It's where I was. It's not about me. It's about the place and the people. Well, I like that. The place and the people.
Did you meet Sammy the Bull? Did you ever see him?
I've seen him hanging outside the club. I was young, I guess. I didn't even, if I would have run past him, I wouldn't have known who it was, just the boys hanging, the club there, the guys. I was young. I was a kid. I was,
Oh, this
walked
is the
past what, 101st Avenue, and they were hanging out in the front. I didn't say, that was, hi, Sammy, how are you? No, that wasn't the case. Nobody knew. Everything was, unless you were in the club,
Sure. Then
who was who. But no, it wasn't about, that's him, that's his boss, that's his guy, he did this. No, nobody, everything was kept quiet pretty much. It was like a little bit of a show, but nobody mm-hmm. really knew what was, going on, except for the FBI, who was bugging the place.
Oh, yeah. This was the Hunt and Fish Club, right? The Hunt and Fish Club, you, right?
Yeah. That's Manhattan, the Hunt Fish Club, right?
Oh, so
that's Manhattan. That was Lucchese.
This is a Bergen. So this is the
no,
not the Bergen. We're going.
I just can't remember. It's 100. One was on
101st time from the first street.
One was in Ozone Park.
Ozone Park, that's right.
And one was on 78th Street on the borderline of Brooklyn and Queens, called City Line. So there were actually two major clubs. But John Gotti's club was 101st
Avenue. 101st Avenue.
Ozone
right.
Park, right on the corner.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the neighborhood was very safe back then. Unless you had a beef with John Gotti, you were good.
Pretty much.
You were good. You know, as long as you smiled and said hello.
Last person I'd want to have a beef with, or maybe Nick would be the last person, right? You know?
Nah, I don't think so. He's the mush. But John Gotti, it's like you wouldn't mess with him. You wouldn't you wouldn't say the wrong thing, even before I think he was anyone. Because I remember before he, I guess that old stuff happened when he killed the guy or whatever. The hate guy. No, when he killed the mob guy. The old man.
Oh, Paul.
Paulie, yeah.
That was 1985.
Way before that, I was, because remember, I went to John Adams. I went to Franklin K. Lane, the same school that John Gotti went to. And I went to John Adams, which was Ozone Park, which was not far from that club. So I was a kid walking, I knew them before he was even, he even became head boss. I knew them before. You know, so,
yeah.
But I was a kid, you know, I was like, hi, ho, ho, you know, but do I know stories? Yeah. I wasn't tied that. I was 13 years old going to school, 13, 14. I knew of, and this was the club, and this was whoever was here. It wasn't John Gotti's club at the time. It was just the club, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, the guy who had the club before John took it over was the Fatico brothers, Carmine Fatico.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Interesting. See,
the Fatico brothers ran it before John. Then, John was their protege. That's how it worked.
Okay, John was a guy. I can tell you what John was.
Yeah,
I
want to
interrupt. You keep talking about John Gotti. We'll just put him in the mix. Yeah, he's good.
That.
He was the guy. He was the guy. You know, he was Howard Beach. He was Ozone Park. He was the man of the men. Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island. So let's talk about Sean. Sean was an up-and-coming guy who wanted to make a name himself. He wanted to be a top guy. And I guess he just had that opportunity and he went with it. You know, he had the nerve. He had the cañones of steel, as they say, what the men say, I think they say. And know what they say. So he was the guy. He was the guy. They were looking for somebody and he was the guy. You know, I don't even think he knew himself.
Interesting. Well, I guess according to the trials, he hit Paul Castellani, right? So he had a high motivation to become boss, right? I mean,
I think that's why he wanted to do
that was
it.
The whole point.
And here's something that nobody knows. I'll give you a little tidbit for
you.
Yeah. I don't know if everybody knows this, but John Gotti is married to a Russian Jew, and his kids are Russian Jews. So they're not all Italian. So his son could never have been made. John Jr., which I know.
But he was.
No, he was not.
He was made, baby.
No. Well, if he was, they
but
broke
I
the
rules.
Well,
he
then
was.
If he was, I don't know, they broke the rules because you have to be 100% Italian, supposedly. Back, I don't know. Maybe it's.
They changed things.
Oh, maybe they. Maybe John had that power and he changed the rule book.
I think Angela's right. I think with Gotti. Said, hey, you know, I want my son made, and I don't care about...
His son never wanted to be a mobster. He was grew up that way. Remember, his father was a mobster. He was he had to, you know, walk around like a tough guy because his father was. What was he going to be? So he was pushed into it. He was never the... He wasn't as tough as people think. And he still isn't, you know? And
is he still
just didn't want no part of it.
Do they still live
he
in
never
Queens?
Wanted part of it.
I'm sorry?
Is John Jr. and the family still live in
Long Island.
Long Island.
Where?
Oh, Brooklyn.
Long Island, New York. No
I'm
more Howard.
Curious.
No.
Okay. I just wondered if you ever, you know, what
But
the
a lot
story
of people don't know that his wife, his kids are Russian Jews, too, you know? And not just Jewish. Russian Jewish. Which makes him a little tougher than the rest of the Russians.
Yeah. No, you know what I didn't realize? I thought, one of the parents had to be Italian, and I thought it was the father, but I'm told it's actually the mother. If that they prefer both of them being Italian, but if there's only one, they prefer it has to be the mother. I didn't know that. Isn't that interesting?
Well, they prove the fact. Here proves the point that's why the mob didn't last too long, because they weren't as smart as the new mob. But the old school, they were good. They knew how to keep it undercover. But the new ones, they just changed the rules as they went along, did whatever they want, and you see how well that got them. Didn't get them.
No, not too well.
Didn't do too well for them, did it? you got to stick by a rule.
What? Is that true, Nick? One of the reasons they weren't happy with John Gotti, and again, I don't know if it's true that if he didn't go to prison, they may have taken him out. He was too flamboyant. The mob's supposed to be, a secret society. They don't want the publicity. Is that true?
He ruined he kind of ruined the situation for everyone else. They called him the Teflon Don and the Dapper Don, because he showed off, I'm a plumber, but I'm walking around with a $5,000 suit, and $3,000 shoes, but I'm a plumber, So nobody bought it, including the FBI, of course, and he pretty much put the spotlight on everyone else, and they didn't like him, but I think it was just too far gone. My opinion was he was who he was, and it went straight to his head, and it wasn't good for everyone else. But that's my just a little opinion.
Well, they, John, to back up what you mentioned, is that he did. They did try to. They did have a contract out on him.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. Vito, the Chin, with the crew in Jersey. Bobby Manna was going to take out John. But the FBI warned John that there was a contract on him because they had to do that protocol. And before anything could even happen, Bobby Manna, who was going to take the contract out on John, was arrested by the FBI. Not for anything to do with John. He was arrested for a whole other thing. So he was arrested before he even could complete the contract. So John got lucky.
Yeah, that's why they call him Teflon Don.
Well, one of the reasons.
I remember that. I'm 70, so I remember all that stuff. And I think I was when I was a professor, graduate school. I remember all that in the news. It was very impressive. Him on the front page, Teflon Don, and didn't he get like three acquittals too, Nick?
That's why they call him Teflon Don, because they couldn't get anything sick.
Three or four, I don't know. I mean, he would get off on everything.
No. Well, you got to remember, John, that Angela is not from the Gambino era.
Yes,
she married a guy in the Lucchese crew.
No. I am from the Gambino, Howard Beach.
Yes, you're from the area. I understand that.
Canarsie. East New York. I'm from where all they come from. Later on, as I got older, about 18, I started moving to another neighborhood, trying to get out of Howard Beach. I didn't want to hang out. And I ended up meeting the Lucchese guys.
That's what I meant.
But yeah, I am definitely Howard Beach. I'm definitely a Gambino area. I know everyone. I grew up with them. I watched them as a little girl. And they used to give me money, too. I don't know why. Just to get rid of me, probably. Hey, little girl, because I grew up with them. I know them very close with a lot of them. Actually, my sister and brother were very, 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 very close to a couple of guys that were, the guys, the real deal.
No names are really mentioned here.
Not yet, but...
Not yet, you noticed.
The names have changed to protect the innocent.
I was going to say at the beginning of our show to be funny, we kept the names the same, but we changed the locations to protect the places. But,
I don't know. That's a good one. I like that.
I made it up. I don't know if people would get it. My problem is, Angela, I joke around a lot. Being from New York, I'm in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Most people don't get my jokes,
And that's the problem. Yes. Midwest people. See, the people around, like when I write this book, people are saying, they're not going to know who you are. Well, what the story's about. You got to da, 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 da. Because people from the Midwest wouldn't know. It wouldn't catch on. Is that true? If you don't mind me asking you a question.
Yeah, they don't get it. When I first came out here, I would like write a check, and they would say, is that your current address? And I'd say, well, it was until they foreclosed on my house for not paying my checks, you know. And then I'd give a lady 20 and say, be careful, the ink's not dry yet. They'd just look at me. Nobody would laugh. I'm seriously.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm afraid of. So when I do the book that I'm going to do, I want everybody to know. Everybody, just not like a certain
You got good editors, they'll make it clear. By the way, you know why Italians don't like Jehovah's Witnesses, right?
No, why?
They don't like witnesses of any kind.
They don't like witnesses of any kind.
That's the kind of stuff I post on Facebook. I have a lot of fun. But, you know, once I posted a picture of the, remember the Godfather wedding picture with the whole family, you know?
Yeah.
Last year I posted it on my wall and I said, this is my my family marriage picture. And everyone said, oh, you got a beautiful family. I'm serious. Nobody recognized.
Yeah, they wouldn't even catch on. I don't know. But that's crazy. They didn't know who the Godfather was, the movie.
But you're right. I mean, it's good you have a sense of humor, believe me. People want to laugh. I mean, that's what we do with our show. We like to mix history, truth, humor, and have fun. And get, like you gave us some really interesting insights that, you know, we haven't heard
before. Yeah, but here's the problem. I could get shot here, not for this show, but God knows what's going to. But you know what? You know, I think I lived enough life.
Well, we don't want you to say anything.
I'm only kidding. I'm just kidding around, but seriously, you know, I'm going to be telling a lot of stories, and it doesn't matter now. It's so past tense, but it is should be known.
Well, I have a suggestion for you, Angelo. If anybody approaches you, just say, Nick made me do it.
That's it. Put an X on my head.
I'm terrible.
That's okay. No, that's all right.
But
that's a good idea. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Heads up. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you know Bill Cotello, our other co-host, who unfortunately, too bad Bill's not with us today. It's just got a mix up. But you know, because his father was Wild Bill. You know, was the acting boss of the Colombo family.
Colombo.
Yeah, and he was on witness protection. He's off witness protection now, isn't he, Nick? I'm not sure.
Colombo family.
Yeah, there's really you know, for some people there's really a threat. I think Bill, you know, Bill probably has got people that weren't happy with him, like a lot of people are. So you have to be careful. I mean, so I still think Nick told me to do it. Nick, you know, it's Nick's fault. Be the best alibi.
Blame Nick.
What did I do now?
I don't know. I'm always bugging Nick. I'm always trying to make jokes about him.
I don't think they'll find you in the Midwest. They just put the witness protection program people in. They won't find you out in the Midwest. Are you in the Midwest?
I'm in Minnesota, near Minneapolis. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the Midwest. Not really. That's
not really. It's
sort of Midwest. It's Midwest. Yeah, I mean, you know. But you know, a lot of people are from the East Coast out here too. When I moved out here in 81. When I was out here, I was kind of unique being an Italian from New York. And now, you know, I run into Italians from New York all the time. So, I'd be a good shot.
Yeah, they try to run away. They run away to Ohio. I can name names.
They run away.
But I'll save that for another, my own. But I can name names that how many have hidden the Ohio. You know, they went to Ohio. Like the FBI is not in Ohio. I mean, I think they have a bigger plant, a bigger operation over there. I think the satellite's bigger over there. I'm not sure. But I mean, if you run away to Ohio, you think they can't find you? I mean, what are you, stupid? I mean, really. So you think about it, they really, a lot of them, you know, they weren't rocket scientists either.
Well, you know,
and I'm no rocket scientist, and I know.
That's funny. Hey, I lived in Hoboken, New Jersey one time too for 4 years. So, you know.
Oh, Frank Sinatra's territory.
That's when they had there was a really dump back in I went to Stevens Institute of Technology there, the engineering school. So I was there for 4 years and it was such a dump, I couldn't believe it. But now it's high price condos and they cleaned it up and everything, I guess. I haven't been there.
Not for long, but because Murphy smartened up, but Cuomo, he took down New York single-handedly. Him and the other one.
De
Blasio and him. New York. You look, if you can walk down the street now, because they were, you got to worry about getting raped or killed. They just took it out.
Yeah, I don't get into politics, but I just can't believe the idea of getting rid of the police force, and crime is terrible there. I mean,
I think the Democrats deserve it, not for nothing. Let them be on their own. They wanted them. They're going to get exactly what they asked for.
That's
enough of politics. Let's get back to the mob politics.
Yeah. Well, isn't it the topic really similar? Now, the question I have for you is there any advice you would give out to people that, like, that were in your position? People, women that are married to people in the mob, or children of people in the mob? What could they do? Or are they pretty much...
Nobody's really. Yeah, there are people. There is still the mob out there. I know it. I know. You know. But you know what? The kids. They don't put their kids in it. But a lot of the kids today. The problem is, instead of being in the mob, the new norm is doing drugs. So that's not good either.
So, that's bad.
There's always some evil doer out there. You know what I'm saying? Something's going to get you.
And hopefully the door doesn't get worse, but it seems like it does. When I was growing up, I was kind of a hippie in New York and Greenwich Village. Actually, that was the time, I think, when Vinny the Chin was walking around in his pajamas and Greenwich Village.
He was the best. I watched the show on him. He was the best.
You can't. My mother
played Cooper long. He thought he was. Undermined the FBI. The FBI didn't mind because they just kept following him, I'm sure, because they didn't get care. They got paid by the hour. What do they care? You know? You could walk in your pajamas and your underwear, but he did try to outsmart them. It didn't work out well for him.
Well, it worked out
for a long time. For a long time, he got away with it. I've seen the show on him. That's how I know.
Oh, if you talk to him, he had his senses. My mother-in-law knew his brother, Father Lou Gigante. He got a church and a school in the South Bronx, and got some funny stories about him. But when I grew up, at least, you know, we were hippies. We did some drugs, and you know, but we were good people. We didn't hurt anyone. We didn't lie. You know, now it's like, my God, you know, rioting, killing, burning.
No, but go figure. Look what's going on right now. I mean, the streets are safer when the mob was out there, not for nothing. When they were in full blown, you know. The streets were safer, like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody messed with anybody. Today, it's like you walk down the street, you're an old lady, you're going to get hit on the head give me a break, man. They don't care that the scum out there today. They bother old ladies, they're beating, raping, killing, stepping on their face. Back then, they didn't do that because that was not going to happen. You know what I mean? You were safer back then because there were people out there, the guys, they were mob guys, but they never let anybody be abused that should not be abused. That was a definite. Today, look, they just beat up anybody. You can't go to school. You can't go here. You're an old lady. You can't walk out 77th Street and park, not even. So go figure. You see the way things change. If it ain't one thing, it's another. So the mob wasn't so bad. That's my point.
I agree with you. It's terrible. In fact, on September 7th.
It was business. Just business.
Yeah, no. On my Facebook wall on September 7th, I posted a picture of John Gotti, which says underneath, "It's now official. New York was safer when John Gotti was in charge." And that's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But look at the FBI, man. They've been corrupt. That Comey guy. Now I understand. It's 30 years that the FBI's been corrupt. 30 years. How long he's been in. This was the sleaziest guy on the swamp that you can imagine. And he took that. He let a lot of people go. He took a lot of people down. It was like a chess game. I mean, whoever they wanted. They were more corrupt than the corruption was.
Well,
we can go on and on. Trust me.
Please, I'm pretty accurate. What I watch. I don't make it up as I go along.
No, that's sweet. J. Edgar Hoover. Look how corrupt he was. He worked with the mafia, CIA, everybody. I mean, it was, let's hope this country gets cleaned up a little.
I just think they should take down the FBI. They should forget about defunding the police. Take down the FBI, period. Just let the CIA walk around. That's it. They'll hide in corners. But we don't need no FBI because they're the most corrupt scum out there. And they're still finding out about them. They're not even done with them.
Well, you know, the CIA should be doing more international, you know, spying, not within the United States.
Well, we won't get into what they didn't do and what they did do. Yeah. But they're more corrupt than the corruption.
I wanted to ask you, somebody wanted to contact you. What's the best way to contact you? Would it be to contact Nick or because Nick is on we have our own wall on our page on Facebook. We did have our own website, and we got my email, Nick's email, Billy's. So if anybody out there wanted to contact Angela, either about a book or something, just write to us, and we'll pass the information on to her. So maybe that's the best way to do that.
Very sensitive. Okay, that's great. That would be wonderful. Yes, I trust Nick.
Yeah.
At least I trust him to a point, that is. But I do trust Nick, and that's fine.
Not too many people do, so that's good.
Yeah, that's not true. Nick's a trustworthy guy. Don't ask him to take that one loaf of bread under his arm, because that's not happening. And Nick's a nice guy.
Thanks a lot. I feel so much better.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Angelo. I love this show because Billy, Nick, and myself, I really feel we feel like long-lost brothers that put us together. We're here for a purpose, and it's not, we're here to entertain, we're here to inform for historical information, but we're also here to help people, to let people know that this kind of life never ends good. You know, it ends, now for some people like Billy, luckily it ended well and he's got a good family and I think he's happy. But if we could save a couple people from, say, going into the life of crime, it's all worth it. And the other thing, too, with us...
Well, that depends. What life of crime are you talking about? Joining the FBI or joining the mob? Which one are you talking about? You're allowed to kid around, right?
Oh, my God.
We can kid around and be serious at the same time, correct?
No. Yeah. I love it. I keep telling Nick.
Twist of fate.
We had one of Nick's, was it Billy? Yeah, who was Di Donato? What was his name, first name? The guest.
Andrew
Di Donato. I don't know if you know him or not. He's the one that was been taking care of Sony Francis. He was on, it was last week, I think.
You're talking about Ronnie? Ronnie who?
He was hilarious. I watched that show afterwards. I usually never watch my shows. I just don't like that. But he was hilarious, Angela. So
can I say something? When you're done, I want to say something.
Go ahead.
You mentioned Jersey. Here's a little twist of crazy face. I just found out, I don't know exactly how true it is, but my last name is Calvacanti. And who ran the mob, the head of the mob, do you know the name of the family?
In Jersey, John.
In Jersey. The ones that depicted Sopranos. Do you know the name of the family? You don't know the name of the family? Me to tell you? Should I give you a little?
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you who the name of the family, that family was from Jersey, the head Jersey family?
Yeah.
T. Calvacanti.
I never heard of
him. T. Calvacanti.
Did you know him, Nick?
Well,
Sam, the guy who ran the Jersey crew was Sam Di Cavalcante.
There you go.
Which is very similar to Angela's name.
But I found out that my real name is Di Cavalcante.
Her real, supposedly, my cousin, according to her information, is that her real last name is Di Cavalcante.
Yeah, because they always drop the D, they spell Cavalcante in different ways. So when they came over from over the boat, they just spelled it the way they want. It's kind of like the Godfather story. They gave him his first name as his last, you know what I mean? So.
Well, that happened to my father, because when he came over, my father's from Sicily, my mother's from Italy, so I'm 100%. I'd make a good made man, because I got a good background, but he would say, what's your name?
As long as they could trace your family back to the old country.
Well, my kids have done that, you know. I posted on Facebook. I said, "Here's my family tree," and I just had outlines of people's faces to be funny. But you know, I don't know if anybody got that. But they would say, "What's your name?" And he said, "DeSalvo," and it was like D I S A L V O. But when he said DeSalvo to the Americans, they would put D E S A L V O. So that's how my name is spelled D E. But originally, it was D I. So that's, you're right. When you go to Ellis Islands, it's like
that's an easy mistake, but they spell my last name like this. My father told me the story back in then. They didn't know how his father didn't know how to say, you know, his name spells. Maybe how you spell it? C A L. So he spells it the way they want. So it's C A L V A C A N T E for all your radio listeners. But I found out my other cousin, they spell it this way: C A D A L A N T E. Huh? Tent. I mean, then I was Christmas. I was by the my father's cousin Cavalcanti, who spells it differently, and that's the only reason why they're blood relatives. So he says, I says, "Oh, I think Cavalcanti family." We were talking. It was Christmas time last Christmas, and he says, "I says, you know, the Sopranos were Cavalcanti." He goes, "I think they were De Cavalcanti." He goes, "Well, I wanted you to know something. I don't know how true this is. I'm going to ask him again." He says, "Well, you know, our real name is De Cavalcanti." But I said, "Really now?" So how true it is, I do not know. But my cousin, my father's cousin, really doesn't lie.
Sure. I got to break in here. We got to wrap it up here. But Angela, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
We definitely really would like to have you back on again, especially with Bill on, because I know Billy would love to be part of this. And I want to wish you well. Listen, God bless you. Please take care of yourself and be safe, Angela. And thank you so much for joining us. And thanks, Nick, for bringing her on. And I guess we'll see you all next week. And I wish the thank you, audience, the people that makes this possible to listen to us. And God bless you all. And until next week, signing off.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Bye.